really affirmed to me this week that all of his churches are special. We all know that. His church is his church. I mean, and wherever he can get people ministered to and touched, well, you know, that's what he wants to do. But there's a special hand of God upon this place. And it's touched lives, and it's changed lives in such a radical and a different way. It's not the norm. It doesn't do the norm. It does things, it touches us differently. Think of your life years ago. Think of your life and how it was. And think of it how it is. Think of how you thought and how you think now, and how you were and how you are. And think of where you're going to be. Think what God's done in your life. There's a special, special hand of God upon this place. While we're all finding a place to sit, let's turn to the book of Haggai. It'll take you a few minutes, so I'll tell you where it was, but I want you to find it. So I'll give you a hint. It's in the Old Testament. Book of Haggai. Five sixteen. Huh? That's going to be all right. It'll be all right. This has been out of sight conference. I'm telling you, it's been so good, and I am really blessed. I came up late last night, got in around midnight, been here today, and then I'm either going back tonight or early in the morning, and the conference ends Friday. But it has really been great. I'm telling you what's the truth. Those guys have done some preaching. Man, oh man. I'm telling you. Oh boy, it's good. It's good stuff. Haggai, I still hear pages turning. Haggai. The chapter 2. You got it, huh? That's what you were telling me. There's only two chapters in Haggai, is that right? Look in your index. I tell you what, go to Matthew, back up three books. How about that? Will that work? Amen. Adrian finally gets to come be with us and gets embarrassed the very first time he comes. Book of Haggai. Now, what we're going to be talking about tonight is how things defile us. That's going to be the emphasis of the whole night. How many has ever been in Jesus, man, and you're just moving along in God, and you feel good, you're praising the Lord, and boy, you're doing really well. You're praying. That's okay. Don't worry about that. Goodness gracious. It's fine. That'll dry. You're praying and you're praising and you're reading your word and man, you feel good and you feel good about God. You feel good about yourself. And then all of a sudden something happens and you really don't know what's happened. Has that ever happened to you? Huh? Has it ever happened? Don, go to Matthew, back up three books. Got it. It's happened to me. And I'm sure that it's happened to you. You know, everything's going real well. Man, you're faithful, you're tithing, you're praising, you're excited about God. Boy, you know, you're just doing really well. Everything's going great. And then all of a sudden, you find out that, man, something's happened. What's happened? I want to talk about that tonight. And the reason I'm using this thing is I saw Donnie Swaggart preaching. He preaches one of these things, and he does that. No, not really. The lapel mic's messed up. Haggai, chapter 2. I want to start at verse 10. The 24th of the ninth month, and the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, what is the You know it if you'll just think a second. What is the Hebrew word there for host?
Sabaoth.
That's good. This is Lord Sabaoth. This is that one that we sing, okay? He's the Lord of hosts. He's the army of God, the angels of God. Thus says the Lord Sabaoth. Ask now the priest for a ruling. Ask who? The priest. Now, who are, we got to bring this to where we can get a hold of it. Who are the New Testament priests? We are. We are a kingdom of priests. Or as King James Bible says, we are kings and priests unto him. So we are, I'm asking you for a ruling. Okay? I'm going to ask you a ruling here. If a man carries holy flesh or holy meat in a fold in his garment and touches bread with his fold or cooked food or wine or oil or any other food, if he touches anything, will it become holy? I ask you for a ruling. Okay, have a holy man of God come in here and he touches you. Do you become holy? No. You don't. Does it impart something? Is there an activation that should happen? It's according on to your receptivity of him, how you see him. If you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's. So it's according on how we receive that individual. I'm your pastor only if you receive me as your pastor. Do you understand that? So however that we receive the man of God, the holy thing, then that's what we receive. But that just in him touching us doesn't make us holy. Okay? And then, he says, then Haggai said, if one who is unclean from a corpse, from a dead thing, touches any of these, will the latter become unclean? If something dead, and let's use something dead in the New Testament, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. So something that is walking in sin, moving in sin, if it touches you, can it make you unclean? Huh? Read your Bible, right? What does it say? Yes, it will. And that's what I want us to see tonight. It is a lot easier to get unclean and defiled than it is to be holy. You can casually brush by and have a man of God touch you, and you don't become holy. But you can have a casual pass with a leper. And what happens? You see that? Spend just a little time with a leper. It's a casual touch. And you become a leper. Want us to get the principle. And this is the whole thought of tonight's whole time of togetherness. Is that you can spend a little time with sin or with someone in sin, and if it touches you, it makes you unclean. Okay. On your notes. Page 120. I hope that if you don't have 120, now 120 was last week. It's the back side of where we got to. And if you don't have 120, it ought to be up there. But we're in chapter 5. And we're here on page 120. No, we're not. We're on page 122. 122. I'm sorry, my bad. 122. But 122 was last week. Okay. On page 122, on the right column, at the top, that scripture, Numbers 5:2. Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female. Who does this exempt? Both male and female shall you put out. Without the camp shall you put them. Why? Here's why. That they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 in your Bible. These just came today as I was meditating about this. Because what we do when we defile ourselves, if we have a revelation of who we really are, you are the body of Christ. So if we attach to a harlot, then we have done that to Christ. And this is what we're sinning against Christ. And this is what I'm trying to project to us, is that when we're listening to leprosy, what we're doing is we're defiling him. You're defiling yourself, and it's defiling the place that he dwells. Now, where does he dwell in the New Testament? Does he dwell in houses made of stone? Where does he dwell? Right. Are you a habitation of his, set for his dwelling? I want you to read that with me in Ephesians 2:19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's, say it, household, having been built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. See, that temple in the Old Testament was just a type and a shadow of what we are. Growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a what? Habitation, a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So when we're talking here about, in this Numbers 5:3, that both male and female must be put out, without the camp shall you put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. If I'm talking about defiling where he dwells, what am I really talking about defiling? The body. So this is where we're at. This is what we're looking for. This is what we want to do. Is we want to keep the body undefiled. Am I right? Corporately and individually. You and I need to stay undefiled. We need to stay holy. And we need to make sure that this body stays holy. Right? So if I can help you stay undefiled, I'm helping myself stay undefiled. If I'm helping us stay undefiled, I'm helping the body of Christ in general stay undefiled. And I've got to stay undefiled to help you stay undefiled. So this thing works together, right? But spending a little time with a leper will do what? Okay. And we've already thrown that out there. We threw it out there last week. And I'm not going to spend a whole time on this leper thing. But if the leper messes up the place where God desires to dwell, then it messes us all up. Now, let's look at this on your notes, page 122. And let's say that I become contaminated with leprosy. But my wife loves me. I'm in the old covenant now, okay? We're in the wilderness, in the tent. And my wife loves me, and I provide for them. I provide for the family. But I've got leprosy. And Judy says, well, now listen, if Moses doesn't know it, you can stay right here in the tent and won't anybody ever know. Is that right? But what has she just done to herself? She's defiled herself because she's going to get it. Because she's going to have more than casual contact with me. I'm going to touch her. I'm going to touch Lance, Bonnie. I'm going to touch Jody. I'm going to touch people. And what I've ended up doing is defiling a whole bunch of folks. Now, all of us have got it. And we threw it out there last week as we concluded. And we talked about how leprosy was linked. And Joyce King shared with me something. Joyce, you come in. There you are. I'm not Turk. Joyce King shared with me something, and you help me now if I'm wrong. But you said that the way leprosy was spread was by spittle, by particles of spittle that was put upon someone else. So if I'm close over here talking to Don, if I'm just talking to Don, and sometimes I do spit, okay, then I could contaminate him just with my talk and sneeze. Now that underlines exactly what we were talking about last week, doesn't it? See, when you're doing really well in Jesus, and you're praising God, and you're praying, and you're doing really good, and things are going real well, do you know the major thing that will stop you right there? What? Words. Somebody says, let me ask you something. What did he mean? I don't agree with that. How many of you know that you're never, always going to agree with me? You're just not going to do it. I wish that it wasn't that way, but I've learned differently. And we're going to have disagreements. But what we do with one another is when we get hurt and we get angry and we get upset, then we begin to spit on each other and contaminate one another. Amen? And we give the other one what we've got. And the next thing you know, there's several of us that stop praising and praying and worshiping and reading. How many of you hear what I'm saying tonight? Am I right? You know I'm right. That is the major thing that I have found in my years of ministry, in my years serving Jesus Christ, that has affected me. Is I'm doing really well, and then all of a sudden, bang, somebody says something. I get sick. I get sick in my spirit. So, what we're talking about here is I'm not talking the natural. You know, we're not going to put people out of the church. We're not going to do this stuff. That's not. But we're talking about knowing what's happening. He also talks here about a running discharge, touching dead bodies. That third paragraph down there, leprosy is a vivid picture of sin and its effect upon a life. It slowly eats away. It causes an oozing discharge. Sin brings ugliness. If left untreated and unhealed, it will bring death. It must be put out of our tents and out of the camp. If not, we will find ourselves with leprosy. Let me give you again leprosy, what it did and what it does. It was an attack on the skin. And if it got on your face, it would eat your lips away. It would eat your nose off. And you'd have a hole in the middle. It would eat your eyelids off. It oozes away. It just eats away at you as it oozes, as it runs, as it discharges. And that's kind of what sin does to us, isn't it? I mean, do you know that's what sin does to us? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of Christ is life evermore, everlasting. So we've got to understand that there is a counterbalance here. So when we find that someone's in this situation and they're hurting, when they come to you, you've got to put your gloves on. You've got to put rubber gloves on, and they will come. How many of you know they will come? They come hurting. And they come hurting. And what you have to do is just be careful that it doesn't contaminate you. You understand, all I can do is project the principle and what it does. And every one of us here knows that this is true. Every one of us knows it's true. Now, I'm at the bottom of page 122, and I'm just going to read this. And you are, I'm in the middle of a paragraph, so don't worry about it. Just listen. When you hear the oozing from the person, know the person is in pain and in big trouble. They need emergency surgery through prayers, the Holy Spirit, and love. Remember that a normal washing will not help. A normal devotion will not clean this out. This requires more than a normal washing. Now, under normal ministry times, you can go to the labor bowl. You can minister at the altar. You can help people with their sins and situations. And then you can go to the labor bowl and wash. And the labor bowl is the washing of the water by the word. Right? And that'll help. But if I said, Don, I'm going to be picking on you tonight, okay? All right? You won't like this one, though. If I said, you know what? Don, Dad, I saw him with a woman. And that's why I used him, because I knew you'd laugh. And I think Don's having an adulterous relationship. Okay, and it could happen. And I put that in you. And you go read the word. Does that wash out what I've just put in you? And then if I were to drop a name, the next time you saw them talking, and the next time you saw them together, what would you think? Oh. Starts eating at you. Starts oozing. And you'll go spit it on somebody else. And you know, before long, the whole camp's got leprosy. A normal washing, when there's leprosy being spread around, a normal going to the labor bowl, a normal trip to the labor bowl, a normal washing or prayer or whatever, that won't heal. This is something that's going to eat at us. And except by a move of God in our life, except by God delivering us and healing us from that, it's going to eat us up. And it's going to hinder our growth. And guess who has to leave the camp? Do you know that's... Well, let's be real honest. Can I be really honest? Do you know why most of the folks left the church at Lafayette that have left the church at Lafayette? What? They got leprosy. Am I right? Am I right? Sure. And some of the things they were saying may have been true, but it ate at them. It ate at them, and it chewed at them, and it oozed, and it ate them away. And they're out of the camp. Now let's use, how about the First Baptist, or the First Methodist, or the Assembly, or any church that you want to talk about? Why do people leave that place? It's usually, this is the reason. They're out of the camp because of discharges, leprosy, and they've touched dead bodies. So what can we do? Well, I want to kind of hunk all this stuff together as we terminate tonight's lesson. It's because what we're going to do about the woman with the test of adultery is much the same thing that we have to do here with this issue. And later on, we'll see how God tells Moses to take care of leprosy with the cedar and all that stuff. And we'll talk about that more then. But I want to come to the conclusion tonight with how we really deal with these things. Now, I'm on page 123. How many don't want leprosy? I mean, I don't want it. And let me tell you, it's tough. It's tough. And yeah, those things happened. But how many knows that Jimmy Swagger's got a wife and children and grandchildren? Dwayne Swilly. He was the one of those that was the topic of discussion on Ophrah here a couple of weeks back. How many of you saw that? Watch that stuff and give you leprosy. But the guy, yeah, there was something happened. And you know, you wanna say unclean, but man, these guys, I don't know. I can't communicate it. But rather than somebody helping them and taking them before the Lord, as I want to terminate this thing with tonight, we just saw them as lepers and we just threw them away. We don't need to throw anybody away, do we? Maybe it'll all come together as I move through this. I'm on page 123. As the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. Now, I've already done this one. It's on pages 40 through 42 of your notes. But don't be deceived, because it fits right into what we're talking about today. This day that Moses says all these things and Moses is telling these people to do all these things, the Bible says, as the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. They did exactly what he said to do. But how many knows a day's coming when they won't? Am I right? In just a little while, just a few chapters, even Aaron and Miriam are going to question his authority and who he is. And Miriam better watch out, because she's going to get leprosy. My. Leprosy's contagious. Man, it is something else. Numbers 5:5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, we've already done this one too. How many knows we have a God that speaks? My sheep, hear my voice. Our God talks. Our God talks. And then when a man or woman shall commit any sin, how many sins? Any sin that men commit. Now, how many does that leave out? Doesn't leave out any. Do we believe that our God sees any sin that we commit? Yeah, do we really? Because I wonder, you know, I guess I have to look at my own life about that. I wonder if I would do some of the things that I do if I really thought that God was watching. I really wonder if I would say some of the things that I say if I really thought God was listening. But he says that any sin that man commits, any sin that man commits. Let's read that on the right side over there, Numbers 5:6. Speaking of the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do, a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty. Now let's stop up just a second, because I want to pick up something in this verse. When a man or a woman, leaves out no one, shall commit any sin, leaves out no sin, that men commit to do, a trespass against who? Against the Lord. So any sin that I do, who am I doing it against? The Lord. Even though I do something against Don, it's Don's night, I do something mean to Don, I do something that I shouldn't do to Don. I talk about Don. I do something to Don. I take something that's his. I do something to Don. Who am I really sinning against? Is that what the Bible says? We are the body of Christ. Therefore, if I do it unto you, who have I done it unto? Jesus says that if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto. Am I right? So what we've got to understand is that no matter what we do, what we say, wherever that we are, God is watching. And not only is this verse going to tell us this, but the next verse is going to tell us, but he's going to charge us for what we did plus 20%. Let's read it. Then they shall confess their sins which they have done. And now please notice that we're into confession. You know, we like to confess our sins, and we like to ask forgiveness, and we like to say, I'm sorry. You know, I did this to you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But that's not going to take care of all of it. Then they shall confess their sins, which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it 20%. And give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. Now, once again, God sees every sin. We're not going to get by with any. And when I'm doing it to somebody, I'm really doing it to the Lord. So I'm not doing it to Don. So it's not Don that I really owe. Who do I really owe? The Lord. Is he good about collecting his debts? Now, let's read. Let me tell you a story first. Chuck Clayton was here just a few weeks ago. And he wanted to go to Kmart to get some glasses like mine. He had some big ones, and he wanted some half glasses. So we went to Kmart. I'm sorry, Shirley, but we went to Kmart. It was Chuck's idea, though. It was his idea. He wanted to. And he wanted some glasses, and so we went, and he got him two pair. He got him a pair, and he got his wife Karen a pair. And we come out, and he pays whatever they ask him, and we get in the car, and we go home. And he gets there, and he's looking at his receipt. And he says, that doesn't sound like enough. And he's looking at the receipt, and he says, she didn't charge me for one of those pairs of glasses. I don't know how he knew it, but he knew that she didn't charge her for Karen's pair of glasses. They looked the same to me, but I guess maybe they were different. But he knew that it was her Karen's pair of glasses that they didn't charge him for. And man, I'm telling you what, this guy was a nervous wreck until he could get back to Kmart to pay them for that $12. Now, I would have said, well, God has blessed me. He has given me these glasses. How many of you would say that? Most of us would. How many of you would go into a nervous fit until you could get back to Kmart and pay for those glasses? There's somebody, that's good, man, I'm telling you. Because you have got a revelation that you're not sinning against Kmart, that you're really sinning against God. Because what Chuck said is, I'm not going to have God mad at me for $12. Now, he had a revelation of what we're talking about here. I would have said, well, thank you, Jesus. But who have I stolen from? Have I taken from Kmart? Or have I taken from God? Does he see all sins? On that last paragraph on 123. If we took every situation that serious as Chuck took those glasses, what if we really believed that when we sin against one another, we are sinning against God? What if we really saw the body of Christ as the body of Christ? Now, let me stop there just a second. Paul says that many of you, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, yeah, he says that many of you are weak and sick and dying. Why? Because what? You have not discerned the body of Christ. What I'm wanting to hit us with and get us to see here is that when we do something to one another, we're doing it against the Lord. And that by properly discerning the body of Christ, when we really discern the body of Christ, and we treat one another the way that we really should treat them, and live life the way that we really should live it, there's a blessing for us. Now, do you believe that if God says you're going to have to pay it back plus 20%, that you're going to have to pay it back plus 20%? I believe that. And I really believe that a lot of folks' troubles today stimulates from the way they treat people, the way they talk about people, the way they sin against people, the whole time sinning against the Lord. The way they talk about people, they're talking about the Lord. And I really believe that what the Bible says, that many people are weak and sick and dying, is because they haven't properly discerned the body of Christ. But what if we really believe this? If I absolutely believe that when I sinned against you, I was sinning against God, and there was a 20% payback coming, would I handle situations a little bit different? If I knew that whatever I did to you, I was going to get it back plus 20%, would I handle it different? I believe we would. I know that Turk would. Turk is big on interest. That's good interest, isn't it, Turk? Now, what they did, let me just throw out here what they did. He's talking money. That's exactly what they did. They would go before the judges. They would go before Moses and the elders. And they would say, this is what happened. And the guy would say, well, let's put this dollar amount on it, add 20% to it, and that's what you owe him. So they got it back, plus 20%. It cost, if I did it to you, it would cost me, I would get what I did, I would get the have to pay for that plus 20%. Notice that confession is not sufficient. And I'm sorry is not enough. The parties agree to a dollar amount for damages, then 20% added. What if we did this today? Would we be more gentle? Would we be more caring? If it cost money. Every time we hurt somebody. I'm on page 124. I know this lady. And she'll tell you in a second. I just tell it like it is. And if people don't like me, then they just don't like me. But I tell it like it is. Well, you know, and she hurts folks. She does. And I wonder, you know, if every time she told it like it was, if it cost her $1,000, would she keep telling it like it was? Am I right? If we had to pay some money when we hurt somebody, we'd be a little slower about hurting people. Come on now. And that in itself should tell you that it's wrong. Well, okay. Oh, boy. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, if any man's wife goes aside. Oh, boy. I put this whole passage here because I want us to read it together. So I want you to read out loud with me. This is the test of adultery. And I know there's some people that wish we had this test today. I want you to read loud with me. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man's wife goes aside and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witnesses against her, neither she be taken with the manner, and the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled, or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, are you reading? And he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near, and set her before the Lord. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and of the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle the priest shall take, and put it into the water. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord, and uncover the woman's head, and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causeth the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath, and say unto the woman, If no man hath lain with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanliness with another instead of thine husband, be thou free from this bitter water that causeth the curse. Hast gone aside to another instead of thine husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man have lain with thee beside thine husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing, and the priest shall say unto the woman, The Lord make thee a curse, and an oath among thy people, when the Lord doth make thy thigh to rot, and thy belly to swell. And this water that causeth the curse shall go into thy bowels, to make thy belly to swell, and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, Amen, amen. And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with bitter water. And he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causeth the curse, and the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Then the priest shall take the jealousy offering out of the woman's hand, and shall wave the offering before the Lord, and offer it upon the altar. And the priest shall take an handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar, and afterward shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he hath made her to drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled, and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free, and shall conceive seed. This is the law of jealousies. When a wife goeth aside to another instead of her husband, and is defiled. Or when the spirit of jealousy cometh upon him, and he be jealous over his wife, and shall set the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute upon her all this law. Then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity, and this woman shall bear her iniquity. What a remarkable scripture. I've never had to teach this before. And so when I hit it, I had to sit back and ask the Spirit of the Lord to really help me. The first thing that I saw was that this was not a punishment for adultery, for a woman caught or a man caught in adultery. And I would rather than capitalizing on her, and I don't know why it's always her. But rather than a person caught in the act of adultery, and if you remember in the New Testament, it was much the same way. Do you remember the woman they brought to Jesus to stone, the woman that was caught in the very act? Well, now, if she was caught in the very act, how many knows there was another person caught in the very act with her? And they didn't bring him. They brought her. But it's that way. But in our time tonight, if you will, allow me just to use us both, because I see in the New Testament that there is neither male nor female, bond nor slave, Jew nor Greek, barbarian nor Scythian. We are all His. And so this is a principle that I want to project to us when we get jealous. How many knows that jealousy is awful? I don't know if you've ever been jealous. Now, my wife, so when I say this, please don't think that she really gave me any reason. She never has. But just from time to time, something will happen and you get jealous. And it is an awful, terrible feeling. It gnaws at you. And the first thing that I saw is that this thing says that this is not a judgment for adultery. It is a test to see if the person is guilty of adultery. And the second thing I found and saw in this is that jealousy is a spirit. Yeah. And it can be a true spirit or it can be a lying spirit. And the spirit of jealousy can come upon a person sent of the evil one to torment Or it can be sin of the Lord to truly let an individual, a spouse, know that something's not right in their relationship. But it's the Spirit, and it comes, and it torments. And the spirit of jealousy comes upon a person to such a degree they can't stop thinking about it. So they would bring this person to the priest with an offering, noting the seriousness of the matter and committing it to the Lord. Whenever an offering was given in the Testaments, it's giving it to the Lord. It's a serious thing. It's committing that thing to the Lord. So they would bring the woman or the man, let's do it that way, to the Lord and to the priest. And the priest would take this individual into the holy place. In the holy place, he would get some holy water. Now, I don't know where this holy water came from. The only water that I'm really aware of in the tabernacle was the laver bowl. But this water would have been full of blood and hair and entrails and all sorts of stuff. I don't think that would have been holy water. But maybe, I don't know. But I don't know of any other place that they could have gotten holy water. They got water. And then he would take some dust from the floor of the tabernacle. And I do believe they were inside of the tabernacle because of that very verse. He would take dust from the floor of the tabernacle, dissolve it into the water. He would take the woman and he would stand the woman before the veil at the altar of incense. He would present her to the Lord. The priest would stand behind the woman and let down her glory, her hair, uncover her hair to before the Lord. And then she would hold the offering in her hands as he would stand behind her and recite this curse. If she said, amen, amen, then he would write the curse on a piece of paper, take some water, wash the ink from the paper into this mixture of holy water and dust from the tabernacle floor. He would give it to her, take the offering. She would stand, drink the offering as he would go out to the altar, of the brazen altar, and there deposit the offering. If she was guilty, she would become barren. If she was guilty, her belly would swell. Her leg would rot off. If she was innocent, nothing happened except she would conceive seed. Now, what in the world does that mean to us? Well, I think there are a lot of principles in here. Sadly to say, even in church, there are situations where a spirit of jealousy comes upon someone and they don't know what to do. And so they come to me or they'll come to others and they'll present this and they'll want to know what to do. So this is something that I want to equip you with. And that's what I'm supposed to do, is equip you. I want to equip you with this as to how to take care of it and how to handle it biblically. When people come to you and with jealousy and wondering if their spouse is being faithful or possibly even knowing that their spouse isn't, what do you do? Well, how do you handle it? How does this passage link up with you and me today? How can we take this and use it in our life ministering to people? The first thing I want to say to you is, and let me try to do it this way, say that you are the one that had the spirit of jealousy. What you do is you take it to the priest. Now, again, I've already asked you this one time today, but who are New Testament priests? We are. Sure we are. Are we not a kingdom of priests? Revelation 1:6, 7 and 8 tells us that we are a kingdom of priests, priests unto God. Now, sure we are. But how many of you know that all the priests did not go into the holy place? See, they would labor out here at the altar, getting people saved and getting people ministered to out here, helping them present themselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. They would help them get washed by the water of the Word and water baptisms and those things. But everybody, folks, do not spend time in the holy place. Everybody won't rent the flesh. The veil is the flesh, right? Hebrews 10:17. He rent the veil, which was his flesh, and he entered in. So everybody won't do that. Everybody won't deal with their flesh and spend time in the Word of God, the lamp. Thy word is a light unto my feet, and thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? Everybody won't spend time at the communion table, kneeling before the Lord, spending time with the Lord, talking to Jesus, asking Him, sharing with Him, understanding, listening to His voice, recognizing His voice. Everybody won't spend time there with that joy and that with the Lord and with the wine and with the bread. Everybody won't do that. Everybody won't spend time at the altar of incense, lifting prayers to God and praise. So the priest that you got to take this thing to is not just the normal priest. The normal priest will tell another priest. And another priest will tell another priest. And before long, the whole place, the whole nation of Israel has heard about your dilemma. And now, what if your spouse is innocent? You can't pull back those words. You've got to know the priest. You've got to know the people that will spend time in this holy place and that won't go out broadcasting in. And it won't go out there in the outer courts where the people are, but they'll stay in here before God with it. And so you bring it to that priest, and the priest goes before and God takes it into the Lord. Now, another thing, there's this holy water. Now, the water in Scripture is always the Word of God or the Spirit of God. We are washed by the water of the Word. And it's the water of the Word. It's the Word of God. It's the only thing that can dissolve the food of Satan, the dust. What is the serpent's food? Dust shall you eat all the days of your life. It's only the Word of God. So you got to have somebody that has access to holy water that can dissolve the food of Satan that your spouse could possibly be getting. Stood him, brought him there before the Lord. This is something, folks, that, and here's the bottom line of this thing. See, when these things happen, we always want vengeance. When these things happen, the reason most divorces happen, not all divorces happen, but the reason most divorces happen is people become ashamed. Become ashamed of that spouse. Become ashamed of one another. Adam and Eve were naked, and they were not ashamed. And so when this happens, you become ashamed, and it becomes something that's hard to deal with. But what the whole principle of the whole thing is here is you got to bring it and give it to God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And you got to understand that the same God that put your marriage together can keep your marriage together. And understand that point that God is the one that judges this thing. This whole principle is bringing it to the Lord. The priest didn't make the decision. It wasn't the priest that caused the belly to swell and the leg to rot off. Who was it that caused that? The Lord. The priest can't save your spouse or get your spouse straightened out. Who is the only person that can? The Lord. There's no other answer in this situation except the Lord. Now you bring it to the priest, you bring it to the people that you know are going to stay before the Lord with it and going to bring it to Him. But we've got to learn somehow that vengeance is His, and the same God that put it together can keep it together. And let's read this one verse on page 125 at the bottom on the right side. New Testament verse, Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is what? Honorable in all, and the bed's undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, who's going to judge them? But you say, we want to judge them. So you got this thing working that you've got to understand as you minister to people. They're hurt. They've got a spirit of jealousy on them. They're being tormented. It could be true, but it could not be true. But you understand whether it's true or not, this person has a spirit of jealousy upon them. And they're being ravaged. Their heart is being ripped, and they can't sleep at night. They go to bed wondering what that spouse is doing. They wake up wondering what that spouse is doing. They go to work wondering what that spouse is doing. They can't do nothing without wondering what that spouse is doing. It's a spirit of jealousy. A spirit's on them all the time. Am I right? How many has ever been jealous? No, you ain't gonna tell me, but you've been jealous, and it hurts. So you bring it to the priest. I'm on page 126. It has to be taken into the holy place. It has to get beyond that flesh. How many knows that this guy or woman, whichever one that we're praying for here, that we're bringing before the Lord, that this person has got a flesh problem, and the flesh has got to be rent. And we've got to bring them before the Lord. Now, the glory was removed. Adultery removes the glory. There's a curse. How many knows that God sees all sins? And not only will it cost you what you're doing, but it costs you 20% more. But the bottom line is it's the priest that knows how to bring this thing to the place where the water can go in and wash the belly. That the curse can be eaten rather than released. I mean, have you ever had to eat your own words? I have. They're bitter. Aren't they? You eat your own words, they're bitter. This person has to eat their own words. There's been things that have been said. When there's adultery, love is exchanged. Relationships are exchanged. Things are said. Words have been released. And they're bitter. Somebody's got to eat them. So it's through prayer. It's through the Word of God, understanding what the Bible says about it. It's through spending time with Jesus. It's through maintaining the joy of the Lord and those things that we know to do. It's through prayer and praise and those things that we know to war with this thing. It's through these things that we can bring it before the Lord. But ultimately and finally, it's always the Lord who either brings the curse or sets the liberty. Now, over my years of ministry, sadly to say, this has been something that I've dealt with. Most of the times, I've watched the Lord work miracles. I've watched Him, even when a situation was known, where the spirit of jealousy had come and it was openly known that adultery had taken place. I've still watched the Lord not curse it. The words were eaten. It was taken and not released. It was eaten rather than released. The curse was. And I've seen it. I've seen it work. And I've seen God bless. On a few occasions, I've watched the curse. I've watched it where spiritually, the belly swole and the leg rotted off. Where the individual became non-productive in the kingdom anymore. Where their leg rotted in the place that they no longer walked with the Lord anymore. How many knows when your leg rots, it's difficult to walk? And this thing eats at you. Sin eats at you, and it rots you, and it makes you unproductive. Now, that's sad. I've seen both. But most of the time, if you can keep the ashamedness out of the situation, there's a chance to restore the situation. But I want to equip you and prepare you. When you're ministering to people, understand there's a spirit of jealousy. It could be of the devil, or it can be of God. I've seen this spirit of jealousy released just to let somebody that thought everything was fine, just to know that something is going on, so that it can be dealt with. I mean, God loves people, and if he doesn't bring the spirit of jealousy, then it's not going to get taken care of, right? So he releases this thing to let people know there's a problem, and let's get this thing fixed so that nobody's going to come unproductive and nobody's leg is going to rot off and their walk with God's not going to be messed up. So understand that when you're ministering to people in this situation, or understand that if you ever suffer from this, or if somebody that your children or whatever, if they ever go through this thing, understand they're under tremendous, tremendous spiritual warfare. It's awful. And understand that what you got to do with it is you can't talk to other people about it. What you got to do is take it to who? And who's going to judge it? Marriage is undefiled in all its ways. But adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. Whew. Who's it up to? Randy, can you save a marriage? Can't do it. Who can? The Lord can. Sure. Now, can you give counsel? Sure. Can you take it to the Lord? Sure. You can share the word with people. You can take the people to the Lord, spend time with Jesus and pray for them. Sure. Sure. But the whole thing, the whole bottom line, as folks, is up to God. I'm going to share this one little story. It was a long time ago in Griffin. And this guy was getting hooked up with this woman at work, and his wife had the spirit of jealousy. And somehow she got a picture of him. I mean, she got a picture of him together. Not together, but doing, in a car or something. And so she brought it to us at the church, and she wanted to know what to do. And this is really the way that we handled it.
The way we handled it.
He never knew we knew. He never knew
she told us.
He never knew. We took it to the Lord. We prayed. We shared with her the Word of God. We spent time at the communion table with her, trying to keep the joy of the Lord and the things of God working in her life, her relationship with the Lord happening. Just overnight, he changed, and he left it, and he came back to her. And to this day, he doesn't know that we know. Isn't that better than telling all of Israel? Isn't that better than putting it in the newspaper? And sure it is. And today, they're blessed, and he's an elder in the church. And nobody knows. Is that good? Is that good? Should that be the way it is? Sure it is. Okay, let's just recap real quickly. If I have holy flesh, if I have a holy man of God, Don comes and lays hands on me and touches me, does that make me holy? No. But if Don's a leper, and I go see Don, and Don says, come on, I want to tell you something. And he starts talking about Deborah. Can he defile me? Sure. Does God see all sins? Every one of them. Do all you have to do is say, if I sin against you or you sin against me, do all you have to do is say, Delbert, forgive me. Does that take care of it? What's going to happen? You're going to get it back in 20%. I get to give it back to you in 20%. No. So, because you're not doing it to me. Who are you doing it to? The Lord. The Lord takes care of those things. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, says the Lord. We need to understand that. And understand that the next time we do something to someone or say something about someone, if we thought that was going to cost us $1,000, would we say it? And when you're ministering to people, this is, and all these things, and all these things that we've talked about, the leper, and all these things, I think that that's the way to minister to them, is you got to go before the Lord, and you got to minister to them. You got to take them to God. Now, I write more in there than I got into tonight on the leper thing, but you got, if I'm ministering to somebody that's in adultery, okay, do I love the adulterer? But I don't get adultery on me, do I? So you got to watch that. Because that's the thing that you're always watching. Whatever you're ministering to somebody, always be careful. Always be careful that that doesn't happen to you. That doesn't get on you. Okay? Amen. Well, it's a little different tonight, huh? So I told you guys we take a big lift here in this chapter. It's not like the tabernacle, you know, and all these fancy things. I mean, dealing with sin's not fun, is it? It's just not. You can't make it fun. Nobody's laughed tonight. Linda, you haven't even laughed tonight. You don't laugh about this stuff. It's not funny, is it? Sin's not funny. Wages of sin is, how many knows these things are eternal? Eternal stuff we're talking here. Man, these things are eternal. You know, even in the adultery thing and the test of adultery, how many knows that just doesn't affect that couple? There's usually children involved, and there's usually another couple involved, and there's usually other children involved, and there's usually a lot of folks involved, and it gets big. Amen. All right. Any questions or any thoughts? Any additions, subtractions? Conclusions? Let's stand. Let's quit as we began. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord that He has kept us. Pray that the Lord continue to keep us and that these things don't come upon us or anyone. Amen. Father, you've told us tonight some things and you've spoken, Lord, some heavy stuff. This is heavy stuff. Lord, it's things that that you put into us to kind of warn us and even sometimes rebuke us. Father, I'm guilty, and I guess that's what I want to do. Father, I want to ask you to forgive me tonight for sinning against you. Father, I know there's been times when I've talked about members of the body of Christ, and I wasn't talking about them. I was talking about you, and I ask you to forgive me, Father, and I understand there's a recompense there. There's going to be a charge on my account, but Father, I pray I get this account paid up and that I'll stop adding to it. Father, I ask you to help me. I ask you to help me, Lord God. But I don't want to be a leper, and I don't want to give leprosy. And Father, I ask you to help me, Lord. I ask you to really make me think the next time I say anything, Lord, that if this was to cost me $1,000, would I say it? Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. And Lord, let us be a kind of a people, a priesthood, who do go in behind the flesh, beyond the flesh, that we can get beyond our flesh and minister to people, that we won't have preconceived ideas about them. That, Lord, we won't even listen to what we've heard, but we'll just take them to you. And the Lord, when we know that there's a leper, Lord, let us still let's don't listen to what we've heard about the leper. Let us just take him to you. Let us go in behind the veil, rent the flesh, and get in there, Lord God, and spend time in the Word, trying to find the answer, and communion time, and keeping our joy of the Lord. Lord, there's nothing that robs the joy more than when we're leopardized. Let us keep our joy and our communion. Let us discern the body of Christ. Let us partake of one another. Let us spend time at the altar of incense, Lord God, and lifting our hands in prayer and praise unto you and talking to you about the situation. Help us, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for allowing me to have time with Donnie Swaggart, Dwayne Swilly. Father, I thank you for that. Hurt
and bruised men.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray. Lord, I know I'm guilty. I've talked about Jimmy Swaggart and Earl Polk. I'm guilty. Father, I pray somebody will take me before the Lord and bring me to you. I repent. I repent, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Any special needs tonight that we need to pray about? Continue praying for Roland. Anything else? Yeah, Don's brother. That was positive, wasn't it? It was malignant. Okay. Okay. Any others? Yeah. Lance's mother, Miss Ship. Somebody said something back there. Jody's got, what's he got? He got a strep throat and sinus. Father, we lift each one of them to you. Let's pray in the Spirit now. Father, we lift them to you in the Spirit. Father, we don't know how to pray. But, Lord, our spirit can pray and pray directly to you. And, Lord, that's what we do right now. We pray in the Holy Spirit. We don't care that no one can understand.